Darryl McCartan.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.
Good Saturday night, New York sports fans. I am Danielle McCartan, and today we're going to call this one McCartan Before Midnight. I am the super utility around here. I'll be talking all things New York sports with you right up until the stroke of midnight here in New York City and beyond. And whatever you're doing at the moment, I appreciate you tuning into my show right now and throughout the next couple of hours, whether that be on your car radio, WFAN.com, or on our free Odyssey app. And of course, as always, we are here in studio in the Big Apple. And Brian Riscona and I are coming to you live from the Mike Francesa studio here in Lower Manhattan. So go ahead, start dialing. 877-337-6666 is the phone number to get aboard. Try to take some calls right here in this first segment, as I've got one eyeball on the television set in studio, of course, on mute. It is in the third quarter. The Knicks are leading the Philadelphia 76ers at the moment, 67-62. 76ers are enjoying an 8-0 run over the last 2 minutes, just ended by a two-handed slam by OG Anunoby. So I'll keep one eyeball on that, of course. But before we get into really anything here, I just wanted to send very quickly a quick welcome to our brand new program director, Ryan Hurley. I'm excited to finally work for and with you. And of course, your first task on the job, it's been a joke all week, but it's kind of crazy. Your first task is to replace John Sterling. So good luck. But to John Sterling, the voice of the New York Yankees. Of course, he was honored today at Yankee Stadium after deciding, I think it was what, Monday? Earlier in the week, at least, I believe it was Monday, to kind of, you know, call it a career, step away from the microphone. And I just wanted to say congratulations on an illustrious career. Best wishes in your retirement. Enjoy it. But the ceremony today, it was really cool. And not to be outdone by our very own Empire State Building. So I wish I could get a look at this. Maybe in the window in the hall, I can go down and look. But you know how we're always buried in our phones when we're walking down the streets? Well, if you're in New York City right now, or a part of, you know, along a river where you can get a look at the Empire State Building, take a look, because that is not by accident. The Empire State Building is in the pinstriped blue and white for the New York Yankees in honor of John Sterling and his career. How cool is that? So I hope from his high rise in Edgewater, I hope John gets a look at that. John, if you're listening, look out your window. But seriously, look out your window. Look up. And get out of your phone and look up, and you'll see the Empire State Building. But I actually put together kind of like a news-style reel from Yankee Stadium yesterday, asking some Jersey guys, Ron Marinaccio and Anthony Volpe, with a cameo from Austin Wells, of course, just to kind of reflect on the career of Sterling. Having grown up in the area, that was the angle I took. And I'm pretty proud of it, actually, because I think in those 90 seconds, it kind of encapsulates the essence of John. And you can watch it across my social media channels, at CoachMCCARTAN on Twitter, on Instagram, and Facebook.com/CoachMcCartan. So now officially to kick it off, this is one of those nights where I already know that 4 hours is not going to be enough time. But I will hit most every team. I think the plan is to hit most every single team, except for the Devils and the Nets tonight, because they, you know, they're home. But every other team, the plan is, let's do it. We will talk about all of them in a meaningful way, and this, I promise you. So are you ready? Let's do it. I'm Danielle McCartan, and I'll be honest, which I always am, but I wasn't really exactly sure how to start tonight's show off, being that the Islanders played late. The Knicks are still playing, so I figured I could kind of do like a little mishmash, a topic train of sorts of topics here, especially with those two games. And then a look ahead to tomorrow's Rangers-Caps series. And game one, of course, is tomorrow at the Garden. And I guess that's probably a good place to start. So let me say this right off the bat. I'm picking the Rangers to advance past the Capitals, and I'm picking them to do it in five games. It might even be four, but I was safe and said five. The Rangers, in every single metric and every single advanced metric, and I looked at 18 of them, the Rangers have the advantage in every single one of them for this series. And remember, just because the team won the President's Trophy, it doesn't mean that they are a shoo-in for the Stanley Cup. Okay? Because the last time that the President's Trophy winner won the Stanley Cup was way back to 2012-2013, and it was the Blackhawks who did it. This is the longest drought, by the way, in the 38-year history of the award. And of course, the Rangers won it this year, but we don't know the outcome just yet of their season. But in the last 37 years, times that this trophy has been won, here's a breakdown of how far the teams have gotten. To the first round only, 22% of the winners. Second round only, 35% of the winners. Conference finals, 14%. Made the final, 8%. And won the coveted Stanley Cup, 22%. I think that adds up to 100. I did some rounding, but you get the idea. So can the Rangers do it? Can the Rangers join that 22% to win both the President's Trophy and the Stanley Cup? I think so. I think the Rangers have a great mix of guys in that locker room. You've got the younger guys mixed with veteran guys. You've got finesse players mixed with the bruisers. All led by Peter Laviolette, who has such an intricate knowledge of this Capitals team, having just left there to come here. So all of that matters, especially the difference maker for me in this. The guy's not on the ice. He's on the bench. It's Peter Laviolette because he knows and understands the nuances of the opposition so intimately. I mean, that is such an advantage. And with Artemi Panarin playing the way he has this season, with the mindset that he is in, there is no way they're going to repeat last year against the Devils with an exit in the first round. Panarin said that this year, and this is a quote, he's got more confidence. He said this, more confidence, that's the difference, 28 points. I feel exactly that much different, exactly that much better. End quote. Then Zibanejad said about Panarin, he's always been one of the best, but he's really, and it's weird to say, taken another step, and it's awesome to see. He's going to be a big player for us moving forward here. Okay, well, I rewind to May 3rd of last year, and I did some more math back then. I sat in this studio on May 3rd and I said, and I looked at five players on the Rangers in that Devils series. This is last year I did this. And I went back to my notes because Italian girls always keep receipts. But I look back at Kreider, Panarin, Zibanejad, Tarasenko, and Kane in my notes on those guys. In the Rangers' losses that season, together, collectively, as a group, in those four losses, they total just 5 points together combined. And then you look at the three wins in that series against the Devils for the Rangers. They combined for just 20 points in just three games. So the difference is really how those guys play. And I'm looking at, for this year, Kreider, all this talk about Panarin. Let's see if he shows up in the postseason, in the playoffs. And of course, Mika Zibanejad. And then I said it then, May 3rd of 2023. I'll say it again. That's a lethal, lethal split. Those five guys were complete no-shows in the playoffs last season. So we will hope for a different outcome from the guys that are still here this time around. I think it will be. I think this one is different. This team is built different. And there's like no chance that it happens again this year. Capitals at Rangers, of course, at Madison Square Garden. I know where I'll be at 3 p.m. tomorrow, and it's not at the Garden. It'll be parked in front of my TV because when I checked Ticketmaster during the presale, the tickets, I checked multiple different games during that presale. I got two seats, and I was like, ooh, $681 each, not including taxes or fees. Don't believe me? I have a screenshot of it. That's ridiculous. So I'll be watching in front of my TV. And then from one occupant of the Garden to the other, And right now, as I look in to the TV, the Philadelphia 76ers have taken a three-point lead with 3 minutes to go in the third. 3-3-3. How's that? For what's that called? What's it called, number? Angel number, right? None of that's called. But anyway, I was looking at the same two things that everyone has been looking at for this season. The Knicks' ability to wear down Joel Embiid and the way Philly defends Jalen Brunson. So how has it looked so far in game one? I mean, listen, I watched none of it because I was driving in the entire time, but I was listening on the radio. But as you're in traffic and people cutting, bobbing, weaving in traffic. By the way, look at the up at the Empire State Building. It's pinstripe for John Sterling. But it's hard to kind of listen to the radio and paint the picture in your mind. But what I ended up doing was kind of putting on MSG on my phone and propping it up on the little screen and just glancing at it every once in a while. Don't tell anybody. But, I mean, the first quarter looked bad. I mean, and objective one, wear down Joel Embiid. I mean, it looked bad in that first quarter because obviously he returned from knee surgery on April 2nd. He sat out Philly's final regular season game. And if I'm Tom Thibodeau, the game plan should be I'm drawing up pick and rolls on every single play. And I know that the Knicks were last in pace of play just this last regular season, but this is just a different animal. You got to turn it up. You got to kick it into a different gear, okay? And that starts with picking and rolling on every single play. I'm not being funny here. If I'm Thibodeau, I'm pushing the pace of play like when we were kids. Rebound, outlet, middle. Get the ball up the floor. Push it up the floor. The more fast breaks, the better. And I'm throwing a forever fresh leg combination of Hartenstein, whatever minutes, you know, Mitchell can give you, Precious Achiuwa, Jericho Sims. I'm throwing all those guys at Joel Embiid. And it didn't work in the first quarter because according to my screenshot here that I took on the way in, to close out the first quarter, the 76ers had 34 points and Joel Embiid accounted for, I think it was 15 of them. That's like half. That's not good enough. So they shut him down in the second quarter and midway through the third, and he's just starting to get cooking now. There's a timeout on the floor. I thought he was going to the bench, but there's a timeout on the floor. Because even though he might be hobbled, in the regular season when Joel Embiid played, Philly, they found a way. They were 31-8. And when he did not play, they were 16-27. When he plays, they outscore opponents by 10.3 points per 100 possessions. That can't be ignored. I mean, Joel Embiid at 75%, I'm sure Philly would take him. That's probably where he's at right now. And the biggest lead for the Knicks has been 14. The biggest lead for the 76ers has been 13. So throw your seeds out the window. It doesn't matter anymore. Then the other thing was, of course, Philly's guarding of Jalen Brunson. And along that same vein, kind of, I all know Brunson isn't coming off knee surgery, God forbid, like Embiid is. I mean, his minutes are tough minutes. Like you saw it right at the end of that regular season. Like, these defenders, they've definitely tested the limits on how handsy they could be with him. And the officials were kind of letting it go. And, of course, you saw Thibodeau talk about it and all that, but from what I've seen and gathered, the refs kind of seem to be on top of it tonight, which is probably a good thing for the Knicks after all. But if you're the 76ers, giving them different looks is absolutely the way to go. Box in one, zones, traps, delayed traps. Because if Brunson is shut down and even knocked off course, and I look right now at the updated spreadsheet, NBA.com, Brunson's plus minus is a minus 10. That's not good. DiVincenzo, minus 23. Not good. And you look at the points, Brunson, 20. Leads the Knicks, 20. But you then have to look at, okay, who's going to step up? I was thinking it's got to be a combination of Josh Hart and or Dante DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo clearly not tonight. Josh Hart has got 7 points and a minus 15. But you know who is stepping up tonight? Oh, yeah. Two guys. Miles McBride chipping in 16 points. He's got the ball in his hands in the corner right now. And Bogdanović. Lo and behold, Bogdanovich. Although he's only got 18 points, he's got a plus minus of plus 19. That's great. So let's see if they could keep these guys in contention here, and Brunson could will these guys and muscle these guys to a win at the Garden in Game 1, how huge that would be. And Brunson spoke in the Players Tribune. We'll get to your calls at 877-337-6666. And he said that after OG went down, and Julius, of course, and Mitchell Robinson, they were all hurt, and they all had uncertain timetables to return. And he said, quote, in the Players Tribune, in the article, it was a beautiful article if you haven't read it yet. He said, we defined ourselves in those moments of uncertainty. It highlights something key to our game. We know who we are. It's in the toughest moments that you learn that. Beautifully written. And now, down three in the closing seconds of the third quarter at the Garden. Let's see. Let's see who the Knicks are. Let's see what we learn about this team. 877-337-6666. Lots of topics to pick from tonight. We'll head out to Bridgeport. That's Connecticut. And Tyrone, you're going to kick us off on line three. What's going on, Tyrone?
Yeah, I know. I'll be watching the Knicks right now. I got FAN on. And I was thinking about, 1994. I was about 16 years old in 1994. I remember, I'm a hockey fan. I remember, Messier lifting the cup. And I remember the heartbreak of the Knicks losing 94. Mm-hmm. I'd be thinking, I'd much rather the Knicks win this year. I don't remember the Knicks ever winning it. 94 was nice for the Rangers, but this be the time for the Knicks, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Tyrone, thanks for that. I mean, right? There's no time like there is today, right now. Am I right? So, yeah, I mean, this Knicks team, I mean, they've been at it. Everybody's talking about, I was here the day that they traded for OG Anunoby and Precious Achiuwa. That came out of actually nowhere. I changed my entire show program that day, but that's okay. It's fun. It's exciting. And you've got Bogdanovich now complaining to the officiating crew. See, you can't be doing that. You can't take the Julius Randle role here and be doing that. End of the third. Philly leads New York by 3, 82-79. If it's any year, it's this year. It's a good makeup of guys. It's a coach that, I mean, I love Tom Thibodeau. Remember when people were trying to run him out of town? No. I mean, this everything has come together for these Knicks. Now it's just a matter of putting it together, showing who they are, fighting through those tough moments. And I'll be with you when this game ends. That's the good thing. So give me a call. Any topic you want, let's talk about any and all of it. 877-337-6666. My name is Danielle McCartan on The Fan.